Hello and welcome to episode 23 of Chicago Business Podcast, where we introduce leading executives in the area and learn how innovation is impacting their businesses. I am your host, Drew Sekula, and today we welcome Noreen Herron, CEO and founder of the Herron Agency, where she leads the award-winning strategic lifestyle communications firm. Hello, Noreen. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, nice to meet you and happy to have you on the podcast.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Great. Well, before we get into it, let's start with the BOD, the beverage of the day. It's an icebreaker. What did you choose for us today?
I just found peppermint tea, which is my magic warm liquid elixir. I absolutely love it. I find it very comforting. Do you have a cup?
I do have one here, which I was just finishing brewing as we're getting started here. So I must admit that I cheated earlier. I couldn't hold off long enough because I was so excited. My wife is the tea person around our house, but she told me, I'm like, do you have peppermint tea? And she's like, I think I do. But then we did a mad scurry through the kitchen and out of the 25 or 30 that she had, the closest thing was she had a mint tea. It was a mint green tea. But so I made a special trip to the store to pick up some peppermint tea, and I'm ready to give it a try.
So. Oh, I should have shipped you a box. I'm enjoying mine in my Herron Agency mug here. So
very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. So cool. So you can start by telling us a little bit about your business and giving us a kind of brief overview.
Thanks, Drew. Well, I own a public relations, digital marketing, social media agency. In general, we're a communications firm that strategizes how we obtain more media, get more noise, get more eyes, get more traffic on our clients' businesses. We've been in business now for 20 years. We're primarily in the lifestyle communication space. So I like to say we represent everything that's fun. We do hotels, restaurants, theaters, retail, events, health clubs, et cetera, et cetera. And we do a lot of corporate work as well. And we've got a terrific team of people, a lot of talent at the agency, and we really love what we do. And we're really known for driving numbers, and our clients always talk about the fact that they see a return on investment when we're on board. And so we might start with a small campaign for a client, maybe just a project that's supposed to be 3 months, and it's 16 years later and we're still representing that client. That's generally the trajectory of our business.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, recurring revenues is everything in business, or not everything, but just so incredibly critical. So getting those wins early on and being able to continue those relationships, I'm sure is very important to your business. So, sounds like a fun crew that you normally are able to work with, but they certainly have been impacted probably more than your average business too. So I'm sure that's been a challenge for you here over the last year.
Very much so, Drew. We've been trying to assist our clients as much as possible over this really challenging period. Obviously, our theaters that we normally represent are still shuttered. They're wondering when they can reopen. Some of our restaurants were able to adapt and do takeout. Our hotels, a lot of them are still closed. So it's a hard period of time. We took this period to really, on their behalf, assess their websites, look at look at their collateral, their menus, just try to get in the best shape possible so that when things do open, that they'll emerge in a bigger, better way.
Right. So the work that you guys do then, is it all really external facing then? My sister actually works for Blue Beyond Consulting, and they do a lot of internal communications as well, but it sounds like you guys are really focused more on the external efforts. Is that right?
Most of the time, yes, Drew, but we also do business-to-business campaigns. We do crisis communications as well.
Okay.
And we're finding that, you know, the traditional, even the traditional term of public relations, I think is getting to be somewhat outdated. I think in general, we are brand strategists, and you're as the media landscape changes on every level, locally, nationally, I think the agencies that don't adapt and don't realize how to, I hate that word pivot right now, so overused, but we are very much, we're doing a lot of non-traditional things that we previously didn't. And we're finding that a lot of the smaller hits are more impactful. So we look at, obviously with every campaign on a macro and a micro level, how can we make waves for our clients? But sometimes the smaller placements have a much bigger return.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's interesting. I know that we've worked a little bit with some of your businesses in the past, and Gus Noble from Chicago Scots is the one guest that we had on previously. You know, that was a fun show, and they've done some great things there, I know, with just managing their business through the COVID crisis and serving that memory care population and serving the population they do. It's amazing that they were able to avoid, you know, any of the COVID cases. So I know that they made the front page of the Tribune from that.
We actually secured that for them, and we had them on every TV station in the Chicagoland area. Kathy Breiha, one of my publicists, did a great job with that. And Annalise Pepper, our director of social media, also contributed. We've represented Gus Noble and Caledonia House and the Chicago Scots now for probably 15 years. They do an annual large fundraiser called the Highland Games. Chicago Scots is the oldest charity in the state of Illinois. So that's their big annual fundraiser. And just this past year, Gus decided that he would hire us for communication strategies annually. And as he said, and we agree, it was such a good year to hire us, because getting through COVID and obviously the challenges that come with the population there, there was a great deal of internal pieces we needed to either create or assist on. And our client there, Sean Stevens, we worked very closely with this past year. And so it was very good timing. And it's wonderful to be able to shout from the streets that they had no cases of COVID there. I mean, I think that speaks to Gus's leadership, and it's so wonderful. I think that's one of the joys of my career, is that I get to be often the mouthpiece for such great news from our clients and the work that they do.
Yeah, that's got to be a lot of fun in terms of being part of the most exciting parts of the business and really promoting, the best parts of the business. So I know that you guys have won some awards here recently. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
I would love to, because we're very proud of that. Forbes magazine chose us as one of the top 200 PR firms in the country. It was a designation that we did not nominate ourselves for, that we did not even know we were under consideration for. From what I understand, they polled 15,000 communications professionals from around the country and got it down to a short list, and then called clients. Again, all of us without any of our knowledge. And we made it into the top 200. So that was a real feel good day for the agency. And I think we're still walking on air over that.
That's great. How big is your team there?
Well, it's a little smaller than it was at this time last year. Mm-hmm. We have, I think it's 10, 11 of us, something like that right now. We were mm-hmm. at about 20 at this time last year.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable. I mean, it's been a lot of work just to keep things kind of at that level, I'm sure, and hopefully things can bounce back and you can we can get back to growing again and not being in more of a defensive posture that we've all had to take on here a little bit. But so you talked about a lot about restaurants and theaters, and I think that that whole entertainment business is a big part of your clientele as well. Do they how do you go about like getting the referrals and establishing the new relationships with your customers?
Well, good question. The theater work comes very easily because I started working in theater in Chicago when I was 14 years old, Drew. And I worked there all through high school, college, became the PR director of this iconic theater called Candlelight Playhouse. It was a 1,025 seat venue. There were two venues under one roof, Candlelight and then the Forum Theater. And so because I worked there for so many years, I knew a lot of people in the Chicago theater community, both on the producing side and on stage. So when I started my agency 20 years ago, those calls came in very quickly. And through the years, we've represented pretty much every large commercial house. And then we've done a lot of concerts through the years at the Allstate Arena and the Rosemont Theater and the Chicago Theater. I think this past year, for us trying to move into categories where we traditionally maybe worked, but not as much, recession-proof businesses, if you will. That's been our challenge in terms of how do we reach those people. And for me, it just starts with what do I use? What products am I using in my house? What do I believe in? I always feel that communications professionals need to really be advocates for what they love. And for me, I mentioned that I worked at Candlelight. I left Candlelight to become the PR director at the Hyatt Regency Chicago, which is Chicago's largest hotel and Hyatt's largest property. And Hyatt at the time had 5 restaurants and 2019 rooms. And I really fell in love with hotels and representing hotels. So for me every day to be in those categories and be able to talk the talk that I knew from being on property what was needed for hotels. So to transfer that into my agency, we very much work like in-house publicists at the agency. So it became over this past year, let's not only for myself, but my whole team, what do we use? What do we want to become ambassadors for? And we've really gotten some good traction from that.
That's great. I'm going to hit you out of left field a little bit here. I saw one of the entertainers that you guys had on your website that you had worked with was Merle Haggard. He was one of my father's favorite musicians of all time. So I'm interested in what you've done with good old Merle's estate.
Oh, thank you for asking. So we did a campaign for Branson, Missouri, the Convention Bureau of Branson. Lynn Berry, she hired us and we represented, Merle was performing there. And so we worked for him. Great, great guy. No bad behind the scenes stories there. And it's funny because it is when you work in the category that I do, I've represented a lot of celebrities through the years and I can't say that about all of them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm sure you get a wide range there. No doubt. So, okay. So, you talked about getting involved in social media campaigns and some of the advertising as well. So, you had a success story. I noticed, also with, I guess you started talking about it a little bit there with those, with the games with Chicago Scots and the return on investment that was, you're able to generate there. So can you talk some more about how you generate return on investment through advertising?
So our agency has always managed advertising campaigns for our clients as well. And I will tell you that through the years, we've done a lot of, radio, broadcast, advertising, et cetera. It's absolutely amazing to me now what can be done with a very small amount of money. on Facebook and Instagram. So in some cases, we might only be spending $100 a month for a client. In one recent case, we had an over 5,000% return on one of our campaigns. So I always laud our director of social media, Annalise, who I mentioned earlier, because she is she's highly strategic. She really hovers over all of our buys. She does A/B testing. So she will make sure that if she puts two photos up on Facebook for ads, she sees in the first hour, second hour, which picture is getting more traction, and then she changes it out. And I think that the best thing about digital advertising now is that it's so trackable in terms of the metrics and analytics. You can black and white show a client that it worked. We install pixels in all of our Facebook ads. And that tracking mechanism for doubters, because I've been asked so often through the years, how do you quantify a public relations campaign? And how do you quantify an advertising campaign? And of course, with a PR campaign, we're able to provide, again, those metrics and analytics in our report. But I always say, I measure it not only by that, I measure it by how much traffic is coming in the door. And I think with a digital campaign, there's no getting around it. The campaign's either going to work and you're going to make it work for your client, or you've got to show those results. So we really have a team that has very strong work ethic that makes sure that they spend clients' money as if it was their money. And I think that really makes a difference, Drew.
Yeah, it's amazing kind of the level of granularity that you can get into with those Facebook ads and really targeting micro communities, either with locations, but then also interests. So where do you stand on that in terms of, you know, from a privacy standpoint versus the ability to share data? What do you think is the happy medium? Do you think we're there now?
Well, there's no doubt. I think as an individual, I often feel compromised by the fact, I mean, it is one of those things where you feel like your phone knows, your feed on Facebook knows what you need before you've even tapped it into your phone, right? But as a professional marketer, I have to say that artificial intelligence helps us enormously because it does cut out all of that research and question marks regarding who is our demographic, and we're serving up ads to people that wanted to see an ad theoretically. So I straddle the line on that.
Yeah, no, it's a tough balance, I know, and I kind of come down on I like the curated content. I kind of wish that they were better at it in many cases, because lots of times you're showing ads for things that you're not even interested in. But it is a little bit freaky at times, you know, when my wife tells me that that we've signed up for some language. My daughter's starting to take some Spanish lessons through Babbel, and I didn't search anything, and next thing you know, it's popping up in my Facebook feed right at the top is, you know, more language lessons. I was like, you know what? I didn't even look at anything. So it can be a little bit scary, but it'll be interesting to see how it all evolves. And, you know, hopefully, you know, there's an appropriate amount of privacy controls that we can build in, and people can kind of make their own assessment.
I've always said I work in the feel-good category, so I think I might feel much differently if I was representing a politician, if I was selling tobacco, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I'm trying to get you to go to eat at a local restaurant. It's like if an ad pops up for a restaurant that we rep that I know is of high quality with a talented chef, hey, I think, you know what? I think it's worth a few seconds of someone's time to see.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to work. I think that's what people, I think, appreciate. So, all right. So what other business initiatives are you guys focused on, and really how are you innovating within your business?
Well, as I mentioned, the field of communications changes every day. And I always tell my team, as soon as we've created a list, the next day the list is old, because it's changing so much regarding traditionally. Just look at even here in Chicago, all of the great journalists that we've lost at the Chicago Tribune who took the early buyouts. It saddens me, but now there are the word that we all are, you know, the bane of our existence sometimes, influencers. We're working much more in those categories because the neighbor down the street is an influencer potentially. Mm-hmm. And we're working on that, obviously. In terms of digitally, we are hiring someone to handle our advertising, in addition to Annalise. And we're doing more video because video content is so huge, obviously, and will only continue to be so.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Some of the, with the newspapers, I guess it was the Chicago Tribune, their last like full-time dining critic or whatever, just he took his, maybe that's who you were referring to or one of the people you're referring to, but I saw that just last week, I think. So,
yes, Phil Vitale.
Right.
Yes, right. Phil Vitale, Howard Reich, Blair Kamen, a lot of their kind of iconic writers there all took buyouts. So things are changing quite a bit at that paper.
Right. Yeah. It's the newspaper business isn't what it once was. So it's, they're having to make a lot of difficult decisions and the world is changing. So I guess, yeah, it sounds like you guys are doing the right thing in terms of reaching out to the influencers that are out there and trying to expand the base. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. Are there any people that jump out at you in terms of mentors that you've had over the course of your career?
Oh, gosh. I think you're always so lucky to have mentors, and I've had several. I worked with Eileen Licario, who's now the vice president of Broadway in Chicago. In my theater days, she certainly was a mentor. Jerry Lewin, who was the vice president of Hyatt Regency Chicago. I always talk about the fact that I served on the executive committee at Hyatt Chicago, and I feel like it was like getting a master's degree in business management working there, because Jerry could figure out how to make money like no person I've ever worked with since, frankly. He's just he's just so strategic, and he was really a pioneer in terms of a lot of the policies now that we look at for the hotel community, early checkout, and so many ideas came from him, early checkout fees, et cetera. So I would say those were probably my two biggest mentors. And of course, you know, your parents are always the biggest mentors, my mom and dad.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, it's quite the business that it looks like that you've put together there. And despite the tough times, I think that hopefully well positioned to take advantage of the recovery when it happens. Is there, for people who want to learn more, I think your website's probably a good place to start, right? TheHeronAgency.com. And we'll put in links to your Facebook pages, anywhere else that people should check you out.
We're on Instagram under Heron Agency, and Twitter. We're on TikTok.
Nice. What have you been doing on TikTok?
Mostly we're putting together videos on behalf of our clients.
Yeah.
We've got some that really lend itself well to that. For instance, Luft Balloons. Luft is just so highly visual, and they do such outstanding balloon decor and art. I mean, I never thought of balloon artistry. I never thought of putting those two words together until I worked for Elaine Fry, and she truly is an artist. Her work is just outstanding.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to check that out. Well, thank you very much for your time today. It was great to have you on. Look forward to having some more of your guests on as well going forward.
Thank you, Drew. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, and have a great day.
You too.
Take care.